We're going to do it in two parts. We'll break in the middle and sing a carol that it leads us towards. So, we're thinking this morning, it's Christmas time. When did Christmas begin in your house? Any volunteers? When did you get up this morning? And who was it who got everyone up? Benjamin? 5:30. And who started things? Was it your dad? See, there was a little bit of wait a minute, it's not quite Christmas. Dad needs another half an hour in bed. What other time? What time do people get up? 6:40. 6:40. And were you the one who woke everyone up? Who was up first? See. How about you, John? 7.
Yes.
What about you, Ted?
Half seven.
Well, maybe it was somebody who. Maybe there was a time that was set. Maybe your parents suggested Christmas couldn't begin before a certain time. And it was still too dark to possibly be celebrating Christmas. And then came a moment when Christmas could begin. Perhaps it was one of you who got up first, ran to your mum and dad's room, jumped on the bed, or maybe got all your brothers and sisters up as well. It's time to get up. It's time for presents. Maybe then it was time for breakfast. Then it was time for church. And on we go with these times to celebrate Christmas through the day. After all the waiting, Christmas was here. And the moment had begun to start enjoying Christmas. Well, we have a verse that's a little bit like that in the Bible. So these are these two verses we're going to be looking at this morning. It's Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Maybe you can read it with me up here on the screen. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Just two verses. We'll see how long it takes to look at those phrases together. We'll read it for you a couple of times as well. So first of all then, this verse begins, when the fullness of time had come. And so there came a moment in history when Christmas came, when Jesus came. We've been counting down to Christmas. How many of you have had an advent calendar over the last month? And have you had one? With chocolate in maybe as well? And so you've been opening these doors up every day. And maybe it said, some of them say on the inside of the door, don't they, how many sleeps there still is to Christmas? Counting down those days to go. Now, can I remember from a children's talk we did a couple of weeks ago, who were the people in the world who had to wait the longest for Christmas? Raise that hand up. Not sure. It was Adam and Eve who had to wait the longest for Christmas, wasn't it? And they didn't get a chocolate every day. As far as we know, in that wait. But they were told, weren't they, right at the beginning of the Bible, right at the beginning of the world, after the creation, that Adam and Eve sinned and were tempted by that serpent. And God said to them that one day there would be Christmas. One day someone would come who would squish Satan's head and stamp on him. And finish Satan off and everything that would come because of Satan, sin and death and all those kinds of things. There would come someone who would sort that out. And they had to wait and wait. And through the Old Testament, there's that wait. And God had a time in mind when he told Adam and Eve and the serpent about this coming one who would come. And he says to them, They had to wait all those years. And God, no doubt, had a time in his mind in that very moment of when he would send his Son. And yet through all the pages of the Old Testament, they had to wait a long wait. Through all those years in the Old Testament, more promises would come, more prophecies would come. Sometimes in the Bible, you have believers asking a question. It comes up in the Psalms, it comes up even in the New Testament, in Revelation and things like that. People ask God, how long, O Lord? I wonder if people were asking God that in the run-up to Christmas. In all the years, God had made these promises and prophecies, but it seemed so long to wait. How long, O Lord? I wonder even if the angels were allowed to ask such a question. Don't know. Whether the angels asked God, how long will it be until you send that one? Well, here in Galatians 4, verse 4, it tells us, when the fullness of time had come, there came that moment when it was ready. Anyone know what that is? Up on the screen? Miriam? An hourglass, a sand timer, something like that. That was one of the ways people measured time in the old days. I wonder whether that might be the idea in mind in Paul's phrase here, because it fills up the bottom, doesn't it? And then you'd say that that's the time has come because it's filled up with sand. The fullness of time, that long trickling timer. We had to wait and wait through all those years of human history. Now it was the fullness of time. It was full up. The moment had come for God to send his son. And we read in that verse, the next little phrase, so when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And so we read in those verses of God the Father sending his son. And the eternal Son of God, who didn't have a beginning or an end, who'd always lived with the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity, there came a moment when the Father sent the Son. And the Son of God became an embryo. What a strange thing to think about. And that's what John read for us in Luke chapter 1, that the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said to her, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and will call his name Jesus. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So God sent forth his Son. The Son of God left heaven and came to earth and became a baby, became an embryo in Mary's womb. What an astonishing thing to think about. Maybe if you look down at your Bible and find somewhere on the page a full stop. That full stop is bigger than Jesus was. When he first became an embryo, it was smaller than a full stop on the page. The Son of God just becoming a couple of cells in Mary's womb. His divine nature and human nature became combined, an embryo that was fully God and fully man. Isn't that extraordinary to think about, that God sent forth his son to be born of a woman? Just like we all are, we were all born of our mothers. God sent forth his son to come and participate in the whole of human life. And so, the Son of God became an embryo. And that was the moment, we might think, of that God sent forth his Son. Of course, there was a 9-month wait then before he appeared. Wasn't there? For 9 months he would have been in Mary's womb. And so God had sent forth his Son, but no one's seen it yet. Still hidden, as it were. Hadn't actually come the moment for him to be born of a woman. And you might know more of the Christmas story of what happened, of how they had to journey down to Bethlehem and how there was that struggle to find room. And then we're told in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, so it was, while they were there, the days were completed. That's Luke the doctor telling us, 9 months was up, the pregnancy was finished. And so she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so then he was born of a woman. And Mary wrapped him in cloths and laid this little baby in a manger. The moment had come, the fullness of time, for the son to be born. Now we were thinking, weren't we, of the angels a moment ago. Faith in her school play had this little production that they did imagining the angel that was always late. And an angel that was always behind schedule and arrived too late and nearly missed out on Christmas. Now, I'm not sure that could quite happen. But I wonder if the angels were waiting. How long, Lord? How long? Then Gabriel came to announce that the baby was now in Mary's womb. And the angels were waiting for 9 months for the baby to be born. And then came the fullness of time, as we've been thinking. And maybe it was at that moment that God then said to the angels, "Now, it's time. You can go." And the hosts of heaven, we're told in Luke, came to the shepherds to announce that the fullness of time had come. God had sent forth his son, born of a woman, and born lying in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The moment had come. It's Christmas, God announced, with the help of the angels in the skies above Bethlehem. I wonder why God chose that time. It's a funny question, isn't it, to think about for a moment. Why did God choose for Jesus to be born about 2,000 years ago? He could have been born 3,000 years ago. Or he could have been born not so long ago, 100 years ago or something. Why did God choose that moment? What made it the fullness of time? Well, we'd be guessing, really, wouldn't we, to try and think of what some of those things might be. But in God's mind, that was the right moment, the perfect moment for Jesus to be born. In Luke's Gospel, he begins in chapter 2, an interesting way to start telling us about the birth of Jesus, by telling us about the Romans, and a Caesar, and a census, and taxes. It's a funny way to start, isn't it? But I wonder whether that played a part in this being the right time. There was the presence of the Roman Empire. The Romans would play a key part in Jesus' death, wouldn't they? And because of the Roman Empire, there was a large degree of peace. It mentions in Luke chapter 1, verse 2, that all the world should be registered. Well, he meant the known world around the Mediterranean that they were thinking of at that moment. But there was a sense in which the whole world was now a little closer together than it had been. And there was an ease of transportation. And Luke, in his gospel, always flows straight into the book of Acts. And so the coming of Jesus is so, in the book of Acts, the gospel of Jesus can go out into all the world. And so maybe the time was right from that point of view. There was the widespread use of the Greek language. It would be easier for the good news about Jesus to get out. Whereas if Jesus had come 1,000 years before, that would have been really tricky. And things like that. There came this time, and God said this was the right moment for Jesus to come. Here in Galatians, where our verse is, Paul talks about the Old Testament and its laws and its ceremonies and its temple and its sacrifices and all that kind of stuff. And he really has this idea that had really come to an end. It really run its course. They'd had it for years, centuries, and it kind of come up empty. The law and its Old Testament stuff, it was now time for the real thing. Not those Old Testament things any longer. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, the scripture confined everything and all people under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Those Old Testament things had come to an end. And now was the time for Christmas. Now it was the countdown to Christmas that came to an end. It was Christmas time. Let's read our verse again. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So Christmas is about God's Son. The moment had come to send him to be born. We're going to pause and sing our next hymn. We don't sing this one very often. To read our verse again. I'm hoping you'll know it by heart by the end. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So we've been looking at these two verses of that time that had come. It was Christmas time. God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman. Now why? We're going to think of two reasons that are given us here in this verse. It tells us there in the middle that he was born of a woman, born under law. Why? To redeem those who were under the law. So that's what we'll think about first of all. Jesus was born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. Who do you reckon that refers to? Any guesses who that might be? Those who are under the law in that last line. Yeah, that would be a key place to start, wouldn't it? It would be Old Testament Israel, wouldn't it? They were those who were under the law. That's a big thing in the book of Galatians, that it talks about the coming of the law on Mount Sinai to Moses and so on, all those years before. And Israel had this law, a law that had been given to them, a law that was good, a law that was always right in everything it did, but a law they couldn't keep. A law they might try, but they could never fully obey. And so because of that, we're told in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, for as many are as the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written in the law, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all the things which are written in the book of the law. And so there was this law that had come, and Israel were under it. And it was really a sense of being under it. It was heavy. It was hard. It was impossible. It was weighing them down like a ton of bricks. A law they couldn't keep. A law that they couldn't obey. And because of that, they were under not just the law, but under a curse as well. Now, a sense, that's true of Old Testament Israel, and it's true of all of us. All of us, the whole world, under a curse. A law that we can't keep, a conscience that tells us the right sort of things to do at least, and we can't even do that. Whether or not we have God's written word or not, we can't even do what we know is the right thing in our consciences. We're under a law. We do not live the way God has shown us. We don't obey his commandments. We don't love other people as ourselves. We don't love God with all our hearts. We like to be greedy and selfish and angry and the rest of it as well. So why is Jesus born under the law? What's it say there in those verses? What's the key word in that last line of the verse? Why was Jesus born under the law? Somebody tell me. Benjamin. To redeem. To redeem us. Jesus was born under the law so he could redeem us. He was born in the same situation here on earth. He's just like us in every way, except without sin. He had that same law, but he obeyed it, and he had to keep it. He had to obey it, or he couldn't redeem us. Otherwise, he'd be in the same mess as we're in. He had to be the one who could do it. And so the devil knows that. And so when Jesus is a man, the devil does his utmost to make Jesus sin. Because if the devil can make Jesus sin, then Jesus is under the law and under a curse like everyone else. And then we're back to square one. And no hope at all. And so Jesus has to fight against those temptations. And Jesus has to live that perfect life, obeying God's commands, being absolutely righteous in everything he does, so he can then rescue us. He'll redeem those under the law. And that's why, of course, they called him Jesus. Matthew writes in his gospel that Joseph was told, "You'll call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Because he would redeem. He would rescue. Jesus is the one who takes our curse and we're given his righteousness. He's the one who fulfilled the law. We're the ones who disobey the law. And he agrees to swap. We take his righteousness. We're clothed in his righteousness. And he takes our sin. He takes our curse. And pays the price. That's what redemption is about. It was used in those old in that culture to talk about freeing someone from slavery. About paying a price so that someone could go free. And that's what Jesus has done. He paid the price for our sins. And so he could launch the great Christmas rescue. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son so that Jesus could rescue people under the law. And so as we think about that this Christmas Day, the fullness of time had come. It's about redemption. It's about forgiveness. It's about a rescue. Have you got something to celebrate this Christmas day? When you think about it's Christmas, not just presents, not just stockings, not just Christmas dinner, but redemption. Do you know what it is to be rescued and forgiven by Jesus? Or today, on this Christmas day, are you still in that same mess? Still under a law that you can't keep? Under a curse of punishment? Because of your disobedience and sin. Well, it won't be Christmas until you know redemption. It won't really be the full excitement of Christmas until you know that Jesus came to rescue and forgive you. Have you come to the Lord Jesus in faith? Why not do it this day, even on Christmas Day? That would make it truly something amazing. Let's look lastly then at one more reason. We might even say an even better reason. Or one that follows on from the last. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Can anyone see a word in common on those two lines? Sons. Is the word. God gave his Son so that he might gain more sons. Why was Jesus born of a woman? So that we might receive the adoption of sons. That through that redemption of Jesus rescuing us from the law and forgiving us our sins, so that we might then receive the adoption as sons. Now, God just has one Son. There's one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit that make up the Trinity. But God gave his only Son so that he might adopt more sons. Not sons in the same sense. We're not like Jesus in that he's the Son of God. He's divine. He's God himself. We're never going to be like that. But we are welcomed into God's family all the same. And it includes daughters as well. Just a couple of verses before, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Paul said this, "For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and you are Christ's. And so he's made his language more inclusive in the verse before, that this isn't just about men, and this is not just about sons in the literal sense. It's so he may gain sons and daughters, for in Christ we are one. We were slaves. He makes that point in the next little verse that comes along, chapter 4, verse 7. And you're no longer slaves, but a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. We were slaves. We were thinking slaves to a law we couldn't keep. Slaves to temptation we can't beat. Slaves of sin. But now, we're sons. And heirs. Probably the reason why he's using the male word, because it was in their culture, it was the firstborn son that was the heir of everything in their culture. And so, but we are all sons now and heirs. Heirs of heaven and heirs who have the Holy Spirit living within us. Chapter 4, verse 6, and you are his sons, and God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, that cries out, Abba, Father. People sometimes say at Christmas, Christmas is all about the family. It isn't, it? It is in one sense. Christmas is about God's family. Christmas is about God sending his Son so that he could welcome sinful men and women and children who have been forgiven into his family. Christmas is about the family. It's about the family that God wanted to gain by sending his Son. And so as we think this Christmas of the fullness of time, that countdown that was completed for Jesus Christ to be born, Christmas Day is about adoption. Whether you've got a huge family to have your Christmas dinner with in a moment, whether you don't, do you know what it is to be in God's family? Do you know what it is to be adopted by God the Father? He sent his Son to be born of a woman so that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters of God. This Christmas, whoever you sit down at the Christmas table with to enjoy some food, do you know you've been included in God's family by coming to the Son, Jesus, the one and only Son of God, and receiving forgiveness from him, and then because of him, being brought into the family of God to be a son and an heir of God? Or this Christmas, maybe that isn't the case. Maybe you're still alone. Alone because you don't know God and you're not in God's family yet. This is Christmas. The fullness of time had come. And the time is here today to be adopted into God's family because of the Son that he sent. And so, this Christmas Day, have a think for yourself about whether you know these things that we've been thinking of in this verse this morning for yourself. The fullness of time had come. God sent forth his Son so that every one of us could be redeemed and forgiven our sins, and so that every one of us could be adopted and brought into his family. Don't let the day pass you by. Unless you've unwrapped those greatest presents that Jesus came to bring. Let's sing. Oh no, let's read our verse one more time. It's here on the screen. Actually, this is the wrong page. Let me click a bit more. Oh, there they go, that was the summary. Let's read our verse one more time. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Hallelujah. What a thing to rejoice in this Christmas. Let's sing our last carol together. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of love. Let's stand and sing together. I'll just double check. Yes, four verses. The service, there's some refreshments up the front here, and let's close then our time together in prayer. Dear Lord God, we do thank you for that moment when the fullness of time had come and you sent forth your Son. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we have to celebrate this morning his coming to us. We thank you that he came to redeem us from our sins and rescue us. We thank you that he came to bring us into your family and adopt us as sons and daughters of God. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that we might be filled with joy this day as we worship you. And so, Lord, bless us, we pray. And Lord, we pray that you may thrill our hearts. And Lord, we pray for any who are here with us who do not know the Lord Jesus yet. Lord, just break into their heart, even on this Christmas day, Lord, that they might turn to you in repentance and faith, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.